Island Church in Galveston, Texas, welcomes you to our podcast. Be encouraged by Pastor Rusty Martin as he teaches the Word of God.
Hallelujah. In your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Let me love the Lord this morning. Now, just kind of let's do a little background. We're studying the subject of faith. Everybody say faith. And we're beginning this morning. We'll look at it this morning. And we'll look at it next week also. And we're just going to hit some real simple, basic things when it comes for faith for prosperity, faith for finances. Now, a lot of people think, well, Pastor, you know, all these crazy prosperity preachers talking about how you, if you're not a millionaire, you're not in the will of God, if you're not flying your own jet. Listen, I was there when all of the prosperity stuff hit in the 90s. We were in ministry and going strong. And God prospered us greatly in the midst of all of that. But I want you to know, a lot of people did get in the ditch. There was a lot of excess. There was a lot of abuse. But for the most part, many of the men and women that I met that taught that message, they had a very sincere heart. Had a very sincere heart. Now, here's something you have to understand. God does desire for you to be blessed. And understand this without a doubt. I've preached in the nations of the world. I've been in some of the worst. I don't want to mention them because we're live streaming. We don't want anybody to be intimidated by where they live because we go out to many countries that our broadcast goes out to. And we want everyone to be blessed. But I tell you, I've seen poverty at its worst. And I'm telling you, it is an absolute curse. To see the children, to see people that don't have enough food, to see people that don't have a place to live, it is absolutely horrible. And it is not the will of God. One of the things Jesus did on the cross was to take poverty. The Bible says it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He took his poverty so that we might be abundantly supplied. Amen. So just because there are some people that have gotten in the ditch with the message, and I'm telling you there are some that have gotten into extreme excess and got themselves in trouble. I was with a particular minister. This was back in the mid-90s. I could tell you his name. Everybody would know it. And he told me about his routine, about how he ministered at his church on a Sunday morning. Then he got on his private jet, and he flew to a meeting on Sunday night, another one on Monday night, another one on Tuesday night, another one on Wednesday night, another one on Thursday night. Then he would fly home on Friday, try to spend a little time with his wife and family. On Saturday, he would try to do church business and recover. And then he started the routine over and over and over and did it week after week after week. And this is what he said to me. Looked right across the table, looked right in my eyes. This is what he said. He said, I've built a monster and I have to feed it. He said, Brother Rusty, my television bill is $12 million a month. And I know the guy, and I know he had to make an adjustment one day because it was killing him. Now, here's the thing. There's not only revelation in the Word of God, but there's also great wisdom in the Word of God that will help you understand not only what money is, but it'll help you understand what the purpose of it is in your life as a believer. And the most basic foundation reality of prosperity and blessing is this one reality that once it gets into your heart and your spirit, I guarantee you it'll carry you through anything, and that is this: God is our source. Let me say that again. God is our source. But we all handle resources that God uses to bring provision into our life. So we have to keep our eyes on the source. Because if you get your eyes on your resource, your resource may become a god to you, and you don't want that to happen. Now, money is unique in the power that it carries. A lot of people don't understand the power that it carries. And I like something a minister said years ago. He said, the problem when it comes to the Christian world, when it comes to money, most people are religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. Now, let me say it again. Most people are religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. So we're going to give you some good New Testament teaching that'll help you, number one, just understand what money is. Let me say that. You may not like this, but if you study the Word, you'll see it's true. Money's not the will of God. When I say money, I mean currency. Did you know that's the world system? God didn't invent currency. God didn't invent the exchange process of taking a silver coin or a gold coin or paper currency or whatever and exchanging it for goods. That's the world system. And I want you to know, church, if you don't see this right now, I pray that you wake up. This entire system is crumbling right before our eyes. And there's never been a day in which the church should have balanced teaching on what prosperity is and how to handle the money that they have so that God can trust them with more. Now, the paradigm shift in your mind, when you think of the subject of prosperity, because the way it was taught many times, especially when it got into erroneous teaching, was God wants to bless you. God wants to give you all this money, give you all this stuff. And then when people didn't get it, and they came to the preachers and said, well, why aren't we getting our money? We read your book. We went to your seminar. It's not working for us. It's because they really did not explain what prosperity is. People think more money is prosperity. Amen? But more money is not prosperity. Let me give you an example. I just picked a number at random, $75,000, which is not a whole lot of money in this day and hour, but, there's a lot of people that may make, around $75,000 to $100,000, $65,000, $75,000, $85,000, $95,000, $100,000, I think is around the average salary of most Americans. But anyway, say you made $75,000 a year. That was your income. That was your salary. Uncle Sam took his part. And with that $75,000, in the last 5 years, you have, quote, not made it. You know what I mean by not making it? You're not paying all your bills. You're living on credit cards. You're getting one credit card to pay off another. You have loans. And so for all these years, these last 5 years, you've been making $75,000, but you've not been living within the means or the confines of that amount of money. All right? Then you come to Island Church, and you get born again, and you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you get some good teaching on faith. And you begin to understand some concepts, some precepts, some principles about biblical prosperity. So you begin to obey the Word of God and tithing and offering, begin to do what God says. And next thing you know, that first year that you're at Island Church, you still make $75,000, but now, instead of not making it, you make it. You got that? And then the second year, you still make $75,000, but now, instead of just making it, you've paid off your credit cards, you've paid off your loans, and you went on vacation. And then the third year, you pay off two of your cars, you're working on your mortgage, amen? Everything else is being paid off, you're tithing, offering, and giving, and you've got money left over at the end of the year, you've gone on vacation. Now God can trust you with more because the wisdom that prosperity God gives comes into your life and it is a power. It's not an amount. God gives you power to obtain wealth. And what that power does, it makes adjustments in your mentality, in your mindset, so that God can bless you with the wisdom that you need to prosper in the kingdom of God. Now, money carries a power with it. If you don't believe that, look at the people that run the world. There ain't no broke people running the world. Amen. And the enemy is really adept at making the world's crowd rich. I'm telling you, there's people in the world today that have billions of dollars that I wish they didn't have it. Because they're not doing anything good with it. Amen. But in reality, that amount of money that they have empowers them to do what? To control. Some of them control whole industries, some of them control whole nations, and some of them control the world. Through a financial system, which the Bible calls the world system, that system is deteriorating. Now listen to me, we're not going to get into end times today. That system is deteriorating. When the church leaves the earth, that system will crumble and the Antichrist system will move in its fullness and take this whole thing over, and everybody will think that the Antichrist has rescued the world financially. It's a financial takeover is exactly what it is. Amen. Now listen, that thing is not a long way off. They're already talking about, you know, vaccine passports, freedom bracelets, all this type of stuff. And this is what I listened to a program with some very credible people that said this. They said what they want to do is they want to create these passports, these freedom bracelets, and what they want to do is they want to make sure that everybody has this shot, is doing this, is doing that, and that will give you the right to travel, and then it'll give you the right to buy and to sell. But we really can't keep the paper or the document type of passport going for too long because there's so much potential to counterfeit it. So what we'll do once we institute it, what we have to do is we have to create a computer chip that we place in your body. You ever read that before? Somebody wrote that down 2,000 years ago. Amen. So that's how close we are. Now, the scripture I want to use as a jumping off scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's read this and we'll go into it for a little bit. Chapter 6, begin in verse 9. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now notice this. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now notice what it says. It does not say that money is evil. Money by itself is benign. It's ink on paper, or it's a metal pressed into a coin, or it's a barrel of oil, or it's a stock or a commodity. By itself, it's not evil. What is evil is what? The love, one translation actually says this, the unquenchable lust for money. Now you say, what do you mean unquenchable lust? If you've ever seen anybody that has that unquenchable lust, and many of the people today that are billionaires, they have gotten it because of an unquenchable lust. They got a little bit, they wanted more. They got a little bit more, they wanted more. They got a little bit more, they wanted more. They got a little bit more, they wanted more. Give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more. And it is a lust, and there is an evil force to the love of money, or to the lust of money. Amen? Now, God knows that. That's why God does not want you to be stingy. God does not want you to be covetous, you know, to covet somebody else's things. God wants you to trust Him. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. And listen, in the days ahead, we're going to have to trust more and more in the ability of God to be our source. But not only that, to stimulate the resource of our life to keep us in the prosperity that He wants us to have to do the will of God, not only in our local area, but in the nations of the world. It costs money. I think of the budgets that we had over the years when we did a lot of work in Ireland, a lot of work in Hawaii. We did work down in Nicaragua. I was around some of these prosperity preachers, and they'd say things like, Rusty, you know, do you make any money going down? And they talk, and I say, no, I don't. They say, well, you know, you shouldn't be going any place where you don't make money. And I thought to myself, if God tells me to go there, it doesn't mean I need to make money or not. If God says to go, we're going to go, and we'll pay to go. And we did many times. Amen. So you cannot let what I call financial, just what they say, the world's financial mentality, govern your faith when it comes to money. One of the first things that God asks you to do, excuse me, or gives you the opportunity to do, is to tithe, which makes no sense. Amen? Let me show you the supernatural aspect of tithing. Here's how Lee and I learned it when we got married. I mean, I was already tithing. I was already in ministry. We got married. We started tithing together. Now, you can make $75,000 a year. You take 10% of that. It's what? $7,500. And you tie that into the local church. That's where the Bible says go. But say you have $70,000 worth of bills during that year. Well, you can't pay $70,000 worth of bills with what 75 times be $67,500. That does not add up. But did you know you can pay $70,000 worth of bills with $67,500 and still have money left over? You say, now wait a minute, that doesn't add up. That's because tithing is not natural, it's supernatural. Everything that God has invested into this word that has to do with finances is supernatural, it's not natural. Now, the love of money. Everybody say the love of money. Let me read the Amplified. I like it, the Amplified. The love of money is the root of all evil. Let me find it here. Verse 9. But those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction and miserable perishing. For the love of money is the root of all evils, is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have been led astray and have wandered from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many acute mental pains. Amen. I'm going to tell you, money, now listen to me, money is a horrible master, but it's a wonderful servant. And you're the one that determines whether your money is your master or your servant. If your money is your master, it will tell you what you can and cannot do, what you can and cannot have. But if your money is your servant, you will tell your money what it can and cannot do and what you can and cannot have. Several times. I know of three particular times in Lee and I's life. One house in particular that the Lord told us. He told us to buy it. He actually said it to me. This is your house. I was believing God for a home for Leah. We were in a nice home. We were in a beautiful home. But she had been very faithful to work in her business while I developed ministry. Then she came out of our ministry. And the last thing you want to do is to go get into some nice big home somewhere. But God spoke to me and said, I'm going to reward your wife with a brand new home. Not a brand new home. She liked the antique homes, you know, the historical homes. And when I came home from a trip overseas, she had lined up 10 homes to walk into, and she had the most expensive down to the least expensive. I walked into the most expensive one, and the Lord said, this is your house. We did not have the money to buy it. But by faith, I said, by faith, we got that house. I tell you, it's a supernatural testimony. And God will do that in your life if you allow the Word of God and the New Testament teaching of the Word of God to change your perception of how you view money. Now, I looked at a couple of things about what money actually is and amounts of money because of people. You put so much credibility. If I've got a million, if I've got a billion, if I've got a trillion, if I've only got 10 bucks, if I've only got $5. Let me tell you something, church. Our money has lost so much value over the years. And what, listen, I don't want to say this and scare anybody, but this is reality. But what our money is today, these green dollars that we have, one, let's see, there's ones and fives and tens and 20s and 50s and hundreds, and I guess banks may still use thousands for transfers, but you don't see many $1,000 bills anymore. What it is today is a joke. It's not worth any more than the ink that they print on it. And they give it value by what they say about it or by what they allow it to represent. That's a scary thing, church. I said, that's a scary thing. So you're going to have to trust in the Lord. Now, perspective. Let's get a perspective. What is $1,000,000? You ever thought about it? What is $1,000,000? $1,000,000 is $1,000,000. Amen? It is in seconds, 1,000,000 seconds is 11 and a half days. In distance, it is a mile of pennies stacked one on top of the other. You got that? How about something little? If you had 1,000,000 ants, you know how much they'd weigh? 6 pounds. And if we took $1,000,000 and divided it up among the U.S. population, we'd all get 1/3 of a penny apiece. That means my family, Lee and I and Breland, would get a penny. How about $1,000,000,000? $1,000,000,000 is 1,000,000,000. You got that? In time, it's 32 years in seconds. 1,000,000,000 seconds is 32 years. In length, if you stack pennies one on top of another, it's 870 miles. You can measure that. Amen. With ants, it's 3 tons or an ant as big as an elephant. Divided among the U.S. population, we would each get $3.33. Now, this is a word that's unique to our generation. When I say our generation, us that are alive today, because we've heard that this term more than most generations before us, and that is the word trillion. So what is $1 trillion? Well, $1 trillion is 1,000 billions. In seconds, 1 trillion seconds, how many like to live 1 trillion seconds on the earth? You know how long that is? That's 32,000 years. Whoa. We stack our pennies, how long? 870,000 miles, or it's from the earth to the moon, back to the earth, and to the moon again. Amen. With ants, it's 300 tons of ants. That's a lot of ants, amen. Now, we divide it all amongst the U.S. population, and we each get $3,000. That's with $1 trillion. Now, I want you to get this perspective. We live in a nation. Thank God for America. We live in America. We live in a nation. But have you ever gone on the internet and seen the debt clock and how it's running? It looks like a speedometer on a race car. Right now, we are in debt. Now, when I say in debt, we're in debt to other nations, and we're also in debt to ourselves, which means we have stolen money from Social Security, we've stolen money from Medicare, we've stolen money from all these other programs, we've robbed Peter to pay Paul. The debt of our nation is $82 trillion, which is, are you ready? Per person, how many want to know? How much you owe? How much you're in debt? Anybody want to know? Every one of us owe $246,000. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, I did that to do this. The financial system of this world and of this nation is in trouble. So we better learn how to believe God, to believe the Word of God, to stand in faith, not only to appropriate prosperity, which is what? It is a power that helps you to get wealth. And what God will do is He will give you opportunity, He will try you, He will test you, He will prove you, and He will give you opportunity to show yourself faithful by obeying the principles and precepts of the Word of God, which go against the grain of the world system, but create another system called the kingdom of God on the earth today, in which God is more than able to finance that which He does on the earth. Now, go if you were to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is a wonderful story. The Apostle Paul, he's there at Miletus, and he's given this wonderful message to all these ministers that he had been really influential in their life. He'd been a teacher, he'd been a mentor, he'd been a prophet, he was an apostle. He spoke into these men's life, and all these men had ministry because of it. He said, there's great things that he said in here that's unique to all of us. He talked about how none of the things that had happened to him moved him. He talked about he shunned not to declare all the counsel of God to him. I like this one. He says, he told him, with tears, he said, I'm not going to see you anymore, but I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among them that are saints. I mean, he's given them his best. He's given them his best revelation. He said, look, I'm not going to see you anymore. I've done my best to teach you. I've shared with you the full counsel of the word of God, and here is my best revelation. You need to let this be the foundation of your thinking and the way you think about ministry. Now, notice how he concludes it. In verse 35, he said, I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, now notice this, it is more blessed, not blessed, blessed to give than to receive. 9 little words right there. Now, if you're going to walk in biblical prosperity, this needs to be the beginning of the paradigm shift in your mind in order for you to really receive true biblical prosperity. You say, well, that's so simple. Better to give than receive. That sounds like Aesop's fable. It's not. It's something Jesus said. Amen. Now, you don't realize how powerful a statement that is until you realize the world system is not built on giving. The world system is built on receiving. Now, you think about some of these wicked industries like gambling. Listen, if you're a gambler, get delivered of that. There's nothing about gambling that's righteous. It steals from the poorest among us. And nothing that's built in the gambling world is built on winners. It's all built on losers. It's fixed. Well, I know so-and-so, one-so. Yeah, I know. They always dangle the carrot out there trying to bait the hook. But in reality, I've said to people who have asked me, well, you're against gambling. I said, let me tell you, the number one reason I'm against gambling is because at the foot of the cross, when my Savior, when His blood was running down out of His side, out of His hands, out of His feet, it wasn't adultery manifesting, it wasn't wrong, it was gambling that manifested at the foot of that cross, and for no other reason, Christians should not gamble. But now, gambling is built on, I'm going to get something. I'm gonna put $2 into this machine and I may get $200. I'm gonna scratch this ticket and I might get $5,000. Amen. And what happens if you do? You have an emotional reaction. Woo! Notice how I can control your emotion. I was buying some gas the other day at a place where I get my gas, and I had to stand in line in front of somebody who was scratching tickets. I thought to myself, can't you go down the road and do that? No, he had to do that. Well, I got $2. Give me two more. I got it. I was like, come on, man. And he left kind of like this. Because he burned up a $20 bill in about 5 minutes right there at the counter. We were watching, eating breakfast the other morning, watching some show on TV. And they had the commercial for the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. Now, I know that's kind of an innocent thing, but it showed the big check. The balloons, they knock on the door. Here comes this sleepy person at the door. All of a sudden, they rip from the ground. Whoa! They have this great emotional. They have received. Amen. So the world's entire investment into the financial realm is in the receiving side. That's what makes me happy. That's what gives me joy. That's what gives me hope. That's what fulfills my dream. If I can just what? Get. Amen. Now, Jesus said, that's not the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is this. You're blessed. You're empowered. You should be jumping. You should be shouting. You should be laughing. You should be dancing. You should have all kinds of joy. Not when the world does, not when you receive, but when you give. That's why the Bible tells us, and we'll look at it next week, over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says that we should be what? A joyful, a hilarious, a glad-to-do-it giver. Amen. So when you base your life on what? Now listen, this is a very important principle of prosperity. When you base your financial life on the nature of God in you, what is the nature of God? God is the consummate giver. Nobody gives like God. God gave His only begotten Son. We sang the song. He gives us breath in our lungs. He gives us the sun in the morning. He gives us the moon at night. He gives us all the stars. He gives us nature. The Bible says if you even observe nature and say there is no God, you're a fool. He reveals His ability for you to prosper in nature by showing us there is no supermarket for blue jays, mockingbirds or sparrows. Amen. We found a little bird, took care of it for a few days, then we gave it to another family. They raised it and let it go. It was a mockingbird. I found it. One of my dogs, when we were walking, kind of nuzzled it out. They had cut some bushes, and there was looked down, and there's this little bird, you know, still alive. And I couldn't leave it there. So, you know, I ran down to the store and got some mealybugs and worms and grasshoppers that were dried. So we put water on them, started feeding it. Then we found some family with some kids that took care of it, and they raised it and let it go. So I remember when I was feeding it, I thought to myself, this is a hassle. Because you'd feed it, and you'd go 15 minutes, and it'd start going, keep, 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 keep. That means it was hungry, so you'd have to go feed it again. You'd feed it again, keep, 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 keep. You'd have to go feed it again, keep, 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 keep. I mean, that just went on day after day. And I remember praying one day and saying, Lord, this little bird's hard to feed. God said this, I feed them all. That kind of gave me an idea of God, of how big He is and how able He is to take care of what He creates and what belongs to Him. His nature is in you. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So when you get over here, the Bible says of Jesus, He endured the suffering and the shame of the cross. Why? For the joy that was set before Him. Why? Because the cross was the greatest gift. I'm giving my life to the world. What's that worth? How much gold is that worth? How many diamonds is a life worth? And God loved us so much, He gave everything He had in the person of His Son so that we might be saved. And then He said this through the Apostle Paul. Jesus said, you are more what? You are blessed. You are empowered. This is your blessing, not like the world when it gets it all in their hands and holds on to it. You know the philosophy of the world, don't you? Get all you can all you get, sit on the can. Amen. Well, that's not God's way. God is what? God is what? Be a giver. Be generous. Have a generous heart. And we'll look at the different ways we do that through tithing, offering, giving of alms, taking care of the poor. But let me just give you, as a testimony, Lee and I have practiced this our whole life in ministry. And we have handled millions of dollars. And what's unique about that is this. We have never found a place in our life where we thought we had to just store something up or, you know, if we don't save $1 million, if we're not a millionaire by the time we're 40, if we're not, listen, all that mentality was around during the 90s when we saw a lot of the prosperity message go into the ditch. But I found this out about God. If whatever comes from heaven, if it comes to you and goes through you, there'll never be a lack of supply. But if it comes to you and it stops, then it's going to stagnate and one day you're going to be in need. Listen, salvation comes to me, but salvation also goes through me. You say, what do you mean? I'm always looking for somebody to tell them about Jesus. Amen. Healing comes to me, but healing also comes through me. I'm going to teach on divine healing tonight. We do it every communion night. We do it every month. We have meetings. We lay hands on the sick. We speak the word of God. We believe God for signs, wonders, and miracles, the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And one of the gifts of Spirit is the gifts of healing. We want it coming to us, in us, and through us. It's called the divine flow. The divine flow. Financially, as we said earlier, in the word of God is what? Concepts, insights, ideas, and everything you need to help train you financially. And listen, if you've never allowed God to train you financially, you need to do it now because now are some of the darkest times financially that are coming upon the earth. Nations are reeling right now. Whole businesses are shut down. I saw a statistic in Texas, 42,000 businesses in Texas are gone in 1 year, are gone. This past year, 42,000 businesses. What does that represent? How many people does that represent? In the nation, it's over 900,000 that are just gone. They don't look for them ever to come back. But then those that would be rich, what does the Bible say about them? They're going to pierce their own selves through. That greed is going to drive. They want more, and they want more, and they want more, and they want more, and that's going to drive. They'll never have peace. But here's the thing about God, and here's the thing about biblical prosperity. No matter what state you're in, you have contentment, and you have peace. There's been time in Lee and I's life when we had so much, we were just giving it away. There were times we didn't have nothing. And we were always content because we had our eyes not on some resource we had, but we kept our eyes on the source. Now, let me say this in closing. One of the number one ways God trains you in His character is through money. Because we handle it every day. Every week or every 2 weeks, you get a paycheck. You have to go out and buy your groceries. You pay your mortgage. You pay your debts. So one of the number one ways He trains us in our character is through money. That means He wants to work on our integrity. He wants to work on our honesty. He does not want us dependent upon money itself. He wants us dependent upon Him. And He wants us to trust Him. The Bible says, we quoted the scripture earlier, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. He wants you to trust Him financially. Now, in my life, there were several things that happened to me early in ministry that helped kind of set the template of how I was going to believe God and on how I was going to react and react when it came to money. I was used to working, but I never could, you know, make enough money to fulfill all of the evil appetites of my life and my habits. Put it that way, amen. Now, I worked hard. I worked out in the oil field. I worked down at the waterfront as longshoreman. Alan's here. He and I both, in the summer of 1980, I don't know if you remember the summer of 1980, it was one of the hottest we ever had. I think it was Dallas that was like 60 days over 120 degrees. It was just a horrible, horrible. Well, that summer, we worked one job, he and I, down on the waterfront, down on Pier 37, an old freighter that we had to load, and I think we were 10 days on that job, we had to load with 140-pound sacks of flour. Brother, I'm telling you, we earned our $10.50 an hour. Amen. So you've got to understand, there is that labor that you put in, there is that, you know, that what you do to produce money, and your life is measured by time. And you give your time to your job, you give your time to your if you're a business owner, you give your time to your business, amen? So when you come to the church and you give a tithe or an offering, what are you doing? You're taking a piece of your life and you're giving it, but remember this, giving, your money leaves your hand, but it never leaves your life. Everywhere else it's used. Even if you got $1 million today, it would be used up with the need. You see what I'm saying? So I had this man in my life. His name was F.E. Ward. And Papa Mama Ward, they were unique people. They'd been missionaries in Puerto Rico. They mentored a lot of young ministries. I was a pallbearer at his funeral. Pastor John Osteen preached his funeral. I was a pallbearer there, and there were 2,500 ministers that he had greatly influenced their life, and he was tremendously influential in the Full Gospel Businessmen Association, which was a powerful soul-winning tool back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, and he raised up himself over 163 chapters. Now, Demas Zakarian, who was the head of Full Gospel Businessmen, came to Papa Ward and said, I'll put you on salary. He said, well, if you put me on salary, I'll work for you. If you leave me alone, I'll work for God. So he never took a salary for going and starting all those. Well, he told me after I was at a prayer meeting at his house, and afterward I was always hang out because Mama Ward would always make biscuits and gravy and bacon, so I was hung out for that. So we're sitting at the table. He looks across the table. He says, I'm going to teach you about money. Okay, you know, I was a Bible school student. I thought, you know, I was going to be there for 2 hours. He told me one story. He said some years before, he and Mama Ward had run out of money. And he was really, how can I say it, expletive about, we ran out of money. We'd have nothing in some safe deposit box, no insurance policy we could borrow money on. We had no CDs. We ran out of money. We were out of money. And he said, he mentioned a particular builder in Houston, a very well-known builder. He said, this man's a multimillionaire, came to my house, sat down at this very table, looked across the table at me, opened up his checkbook, looked at him, and they called him Few, F-E-W, that's his initials, F-E Ward, and they used to use the scripture, many are called, but few is chosen. So that was kind of a joke they said about him, amen. So this particular man, he's gone on to be with the Lord, opened his checkbook, and he could have wrote a check for any amount. And he said to Papa Ward, he said, now, Few, you tell me the amount, I'll write the check. And Papa Ward said, there were all kinds of numbers going around in my head. And he said, but down here, the Lord spoke to him and said, if I hadn't told him the amount, I can't tell you the amount. So he looked up at this builder and said, sir, if God hadn't told you how much to give, I can't tell you. And the guy shut his checkbook and walked out the door and didn't write a check for anything. Now, this was his testimony. He said the next day he went to his mailbox, and there was about 5 different letters that he didn't recognize, and he opened them all up, and they all had checks in them. And he said from that day till then, every day they went to their mailbox, there were letters in their mailbox with checks and offerings from all over the world where they had ministered. And he said, Mama Ward and I have not lacked for a penny since that day. Now, what was that, though? That was a money test that produced a character strong enough in him that he could communicate it to young ministers and subordinates, and it would affect their character also. It affected my character. That's why we don't ever use tactics and schemes. There are whole businesses set up that will come into your church and show you how to, quote, raise money. Well, we don't raise money around here. Our offering times is a choice that you make. The money issue is not an issue between you and this church or between you and this pastor. It's an issue between you and God. And what we have done here is we've designed, number one, offering time to be a time of worship. You know, well, that's when we're going to take up the offering. No, we always do what? We always make a confession, and that entire confession is based on Scripture and the Word of God. Amen. Then we try to teach and preach the concept and reality of faith that you do not have to give. You get to give. Now, let me clear that up. If you feel compelled that you have to give, you need to study the Word of God, and you need to receive the liberty that comes from heaven, which is a liberty not only to give, but a liberty to receive. I like to say it like this. It is a grace upon you to give, but also to receive. Because true givers from their heart are also big receivers. And if you make the decision, you know, my blessing does not come when the money comes into my hand. My blessing comes when the money goes out of my hand. And if that's what brings you joy, I've always said this. I've said, would you rather have $10,000 to spend or to give? See, that'll kind of weigh your character. Oh, I'd like to have it to spend. Well, then you'll spend it and it'll be gone. But what would $10,000 produce in your life if you gave it with the right heart, with the right faith? It could be a seed that could produce up to 100-fold. See, people don't realize that. We've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And because, listen, there are some crazy people on TV that'll get up there and say, I need my $52.23 offering because Isaiah 52:23 says, that's crazy. You ought to be able to tell when you're being conned. And some of the biggest cons are on TV ripping people off. Amen. I like what one guy said. He said, well, he told him to give $52, but he didn't tell me. God reserves the right to speak to you, not to tell you some preacher to do it. Amen. It should be a liberty in your life, something that brings you great joy. And the effects are phenomenal. Last thing, we'll mention this, then we'll dismiss. This will help you. Then we'll receive our offering. Huh? Good time to take an offering. The Lord spoke to us to give a large amount of money one time. Conference that we were actually preaching in this conference. And the first person that we did was an obvious thing that we did. We helped build a Bible school. The second, I really didn't see the immediate benefit. But the Lord spoke to me to give a large offering to a pastor who was at this conference. His church, approximately a 30-year-old church over in Europe, in a nation in Europe, had gone through hell, absolute hell. One of the issues was money. They had lost a lot of money. People were very discouraged. He was very discouraged. But the offering the Lord spoke to us, Lee and I, to give was very large, very big offering. And so when I gave it to him, it was at the end of the service, and I just went up there and said, look, the Lord is... told me to give you this. I didn't open it up. They're going to give you this. You know, I didn't do that. I had it in a nice envelope. I said, you know, give you this. Bless you with this. And so the next morning when I went down to breakfast, he came down and he was just beaming. And he said, I called my wife because you don't know the miracle that has happened in our church. And I'm thinking, in your church? He said, I called my wife and I'm fixing to tell her about the offering that you gave. And he said, before I could tell her, she said, wait. I know you got something good to tell me, but I got something good to tell you. So he said, well, what do you have? He said, I had a dream last night, and in the dream, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, we would be getting, quote, this amount of money. And it was the exact amount of money that we gave, that the Lord spoke to her in the dream that we're going to get. Well, anyway, he was all ecstatic and everything, and I really didn't hear the full story. But that was in August. The next summer, that couple came here to Island Church. And they got up and they told the testimony of how that one offering completely turned their church around, how all of that darkness and heaviness that was on that church, that one offering broke that. It caught them up financially, gave them the momentum they need, and they've been going strong ever since. Now, who do you think got the most joy out of that? I was so blessed when I got to give that, because the blessing was not in the receiving. Oh, they got blessed by receiving, but we really got blessed by the giving. And because of that, it helped me to understand, no matter what you go through financially here on this earth, in this world system, God's going to get into that system. He's not going to steal out of it. He's not going to counterfeit, but He is going to arrange things for you and do things for you and have money headless. And there's money heading your way right now. And as you get real happy and joyful about giving and about sowing into the kingdom of God, I guarantee you receiving is not even going to be an issue, because you're going to know that God is going to bless you. You're going to be believing God for more and more money to give, because the more you give, the happier you get. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Stand on your feet if you will. Father, right now we thank you so much. As is our tradition, we declare over every person here and many that aren't today, we declare no evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh our dwelling place. The angels of God have charge over us. So Father, as we travel on the highways, airways, seaways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation, we declare we are protected. Lord, in the righteous labor of our hands, as we handle the resource that you have given us, we thank you, Lord. No evil plans of wicked men, no trauma, no terror, no accidents. Lord, we push back against the flu, against seasonal disease, against COVID-19, against seasonal allergies. We declare we are the healed of God. And we stand on the front side of these diseases, declaring that we are walking in divine health. Father, thank you for a spirit and a fire of evangelism in our heart. Lord, let us understand and realize we have the words of life. We serve the God of light and life. And we thank you that through the love of God you put in our heart this week, we're able to tell people about Jesus. We're able to minister to the fearful and the hurting. We're able to be an answer to people's prayer, a problem to the devil, and a miracle in people's lives. Thank you as we leave today, Father. We walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We walk in love one toward another, thanking you, Lord God. Here at Island Church, we are covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus.